Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
In this episode, I'm speaking with my good friend John Tarnoff. This will be our third annual career reality check-in for the 50 plus crowd. This has historically been one of the most popular episodes of the year, as John and I have a frank discussion about what we think the year will look like. Cue the music.
Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast, brought to you by Career Pivot. This podcast is where those of us in the second half of life come together to discuss how to repurpose our careers for the 21st century. Come listen to career experts give you proven strategies. Listen to people like you tell their stories on how they repurpose their careers. And finally, get your questions answered. Your host, Mark Miller, has made six career pivots over the last 30 years. He understands this is not about jumping out of the frying pan into a fire, but rather to create a plan where you make clear, actionable steps or pivots to a better future career. Are you ready to repurpose your career?
Welcome to episode 303 of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. My name is Mark Miller, and I'll be your host every Monday for discussion on what it's like to repurpose your career. In this episode, I'm speaking with my good friend, John Tarnoff. This will be our third annual career reality check-in for the 50-plus crowd. This has historically been one of the most popular episodes of the year, as John and I have a frank discussion of what we think the new year will look like. I've had John on the podcast many times before, including the following, episode 251, the 2022 career reality check-in for the 50-plus crowd, episode 232, how to adopt a career mindset in the second half of life, episode 208, 2021 career reality check-in for the 50-plus crowd, episode 154, Johnoff teaches how to work for a millennial, episode 120, Boomer Reinvention Revisited, episode 12, Boomer Reinvention. John is now a career coach, but spent much of his career in the entertainment business. He was fired from 39% of his jobs, so he has experienced adversity. He is now focused on second act careers and is the co-host with Carrie Hannon on the Second Act show. Before we go any further, let me mention I have a sponsor for this episode, Magic Mind. Magic Mind is the world's first productivity drink. It's not an energy or coffee-based drink, but a drink that will help you stay focused. I've been using it for over a year and has made a real difference, but more on this later in the show. Now, on to my frank discussion with John Tarnoff. Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast. I have my good friend John Tarnoff on the podcast. This is the third year in a row we've done our baby boomer 55 plus reality check.
Yep. Here we are. Another year,
and we're back. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. Always great to be here. Always great to talk to you.
You know, 2022, we were talking right before the podcast we got on that 2022 was a strange year. What surprised you about 2022, both good and bad?
I think what surprised me was how surprising it was. I didn't think it was going to do all of the twists and turns. I think, well, look, on the one hand, I think that perhaps looking back on it now from the perspective of January 2023, the geopolitics and the ebbs and flows and the ups and downs of politics and culture and society and screaming talking heads, polluted social media, all of that stuff, it seemed to me more on the outside of reality than on the inside of reality. It felt more like entertainment, and that, and this is probably a bad thing to say about the world because this is serious stuff going on all around the globe, but I feel like people's lives went on regardless, and we all somehow muddled through, and I think we will continue to muddle through. So perhaps, I don't know, I'm kind of working this out as I'm talking to you here, but if the pandemic brought this big screeching halt to everyone's sense of reality, sense of destiny, the economics of that, where we kind of put the air kind of finally went out of this bubble that people had been talking about for so long. Well, we're still here, right? Inflation is up wherever the hell it is today. We're still here. We're still surviving. At the margins, absolutely, people are being affected by this. But I think if you look in the aggregate, we are perhaps in some ways uncomfortable. But then again, I'm looking at car ads on TV and they're offering 1.9 APR. So I'm thinking, okay, well, you can still, I guess, buy a car. That's, I guess, both my retrospect and my prospect to think that we are going to muddle through. The trends that you and I have been talking about for the last 3 years are still operative. We'll still continue to trend. And let's talk about some of those.
If I look back on 2022, and like I did in my career and industry disruption talk, I talk about there are three things that are driving change. One was the pandemic. The second is we get this crazy guy in Russia and everything that the Russian-Ukrainian war has done, some of which is not necessarily evident to us, but everything from oil to food stuff and all kinds of other. And third is climate change. And, well, you're out in California right now and you're seeing the effects.
Yeah, well, we're seeing it wherever you are, you're seeing the effects, right? One way or the other.
And I know I was just having conversations with my brother in New Jersey over the holidays.
Right. There too.
And none of that's going to go away. And a year ago, we were doing this discussion. What's the rest of the year going to look like? Well, a lot like the rest of the previous year, and that is uncertainty.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so I've written some articles on the fact that we are living in one of the weirdest employment markets or the employment markets and economy in my lifetime. We have very high inflation, although it's getting better. We have record low unemployment rates, even among people our age.
Right.
But we also have very low workforce participation rates and vast shortages of people to do primarily service jobs.
Right.
So this is weird.
I think we've gotten, if not fat and lazy, kind of fat and lazy-ish around certain things which we've taken for granted in the economy and in our lifestyle. And I'm reminded of George Bush after 9/11 and getting involved in those wars, the message was, don't change. We've got the ability to fight these wars and spend all these billions of dollars without you guys having to change anything, change your lifestyle, worry about it. Stark contrast from what we know from our parents and grandparents for World War II, which was all about sacrifice for the war effort. So, you know, here we are pushing back on what is certainly in my mind a very important geopolitical wedge that the United States is inserting into the Ukrainian-Russian war. And we're fighting a proxy war with Russia, clearly. Yeah. And it's a war of attrition. And I think that at the end of the day, this is not a political conversation that we're having here, supposedly, but I think we're kind of saying the obvious, which is that as we get into 2023, it's a long, hard slog. But I don't think any of us in February of 2022 would have expected to be here in January of 2023 with the Ukrainians holding out and, in fact, making some staggering progress in defending their country. So that said, I think we can look forward to 2023, which is going to continue to be uncomfortable relative to where, say, 2019 was or 2018. And we're going to have to make some adjustments. We're going to have to deal with supply chain shortages and hiccups that we didn't have to think about before. We're going to have to deal with some back to the employment market, back to some level of uncertainty about what's going on, because I don't think anyone's got a handle on it. And it depends on the industry. It depends on the month. It depends on the last quarter. None of that is really new for those of us who have been buffeted by the jobs market. I think it's going to continue in ways that we probably wouldn't have expected, but we need to be prepared as candidates, as workers, for all eventualities. And we need to focus on what we can control, which is the work we do, the value that we provide, the networks that we have to support us and the networks that we can support, and the ideas that are going to really motivate inform the jobs that we do and the people that we work for and with.
Yeah, I've been trying to order a crystal ball on Amazon for the last 2 years, and
well, they're back ordered, right?
Yes,
they're stuck in a container somewhere off of Hawaii.
That's right, and I look at, you know, everything from interest rates to borrowing costs, and then one of the interesting ones is I follow this guy Hung Lee. He's a recruiter. He has the a recruiter brain food webinar he holds every couple of weeks, and they did one in early December on where are all the missing workers? Because everyone's having problems finding people.
Right.
And the one thing they brought up was the fact that the number of people with long COVID, I mean, we're talking in the millions, and the fact that there are a lot of folks in our age demographic, and I think you're over 70 and I'm 66.
Right.
67 this next year. There are a lot of people in our age demographic who've dropped out. Some retired, some just decided not to work for a while. And the question comes down to is what's going to take to get us to get a lot of these people back in the workforce?
Right. That's a question which is going on, I think, at every age level. I think that I haven't really delved into this in too much detail. Because I think at some point, and I think we had a conversation, you and I, about this back and forth during this period of the Great Resignation. And the idea was that, well, this is all well and good when you've got a hot job market, and particularly in white collar jobs, you can resign from a toxic workplace, or a job that you think is tedious or menial and find a better job because there is a shortage of skilled workers. But beware what happens when the economy changes. Yeah. And I think we're in the process of that happening. So I suspect that for all sorts of reasons, including the spending of the COVID incentive payments and all of that money that was hoarded over the course of, you know, 2020, 2021, things are going to change. People are going to be coming back into the market, job market, because they have to. And particularly if inflation continues at some elevated level, which it probably will. So I think market forces are going to bring people in off the sidelines. So I'm not kind of too worried about that.
I just had a conversation with another coaching friend of mine about the fact that he says, well, look at the tech industry. They're laying all these people off. And I said, well, but they still employ more people now in tech than they did in 2019.
Right.
They so overhired, and that's not representative of other industries that are. And the interesting one right now is we we just saw the debacle of Southwest Airlines.
Right.
And by the way, that was largely caused by, number one, they underinvested in technology.
Technology, yeah.
But more importantly, all the airlines, because they laid so many people off or got so many people to retire during the pandemic, and we are now traveling like crazy in the peak seasons, but business travel is way off still. So they don't want to hire to handle all the people they need at the peak.
Right.
Because they don't have the business travel to even it out.
Right. Well, it's you're describing a really interesting human resources issue and a human supply chain issue. So you would think, particularly at Southwest, if they're smart, that's probably a big question. They have an opportunity now to jump ahead of the rest of the people in the industry who have invested in some software upgrades to really get a handle on this enterprise resource planning question around how do you run a modern airline and cope with the wild swings of traffic that could be seasonal, could be random, have to do with random events, natural disasters, evacuations, immigration, blah, blah, blah. But how do you stay nimble? Right. That's a really interesting question. And I think it could be a kind of a canary in the coal mine for lots of other businesses who are now coming out of the pandemic and the realization that the just-in-time supply chain world was very easily broken. We're going to have to figure something else out because disruptions will continue. How do we stay in business without these wild swings? Can technology help? Can AI help? I mean, I think those are some really interesting questions, which we're going to probably see some people addressing over the next year or so.
Magic Mind, which I said in the introduction, is the world's first productivity drink. I only accept sponsors for this podcast where I've used their products and I'm enthusiastic about their products. Well, I've been using Magic Mind for about a year. I drink Magic Mind with my morning coffee. I actually like the taste and sip on the product while drinking my morning coffee. I first used the product on our 3-day drive from our home outside of Guadalajara, Mexico to Austin, Texas. This is a 1,000-mile drive that we've made over a dozen times. I found myself more alert and focused. I used the product diligently over the holiday. As I perform my annual website and podcast audit, I will tell you there is close to 1,000 pieces of blog posts and podcasts, and I found Magic Mind invaluable in helping me stay focused. I spent a lot of time strategizing on how to grow this podcast, and Magic Mind has helped me with my own creative thinking. Magic Mind is a productivity drink. It's not an energy or coffee-based drink, but a drink that will help you stay focused on what you are doing, beat procrastination, and get you into a working flow state. As I said, I drink this with my morning coffee. After 30 minutes, I'm ready to go to work. If you continue to use it on a daily basis after 5 or 10 days, you will notice that you are more productive, stop procrastination, and will get into a working flow state much easier. There are lots of ways to consume the product, making a latte, chugging, or sipping. Magic Mind works for me. I believe it'll work for you. I have a 20% off code to share with you guys. It's RYC, which stands for Repurpose Your Career. To use it, go to magicmind.co/RYC and enter the code RYC at checkout. The best part is they have a money-back guarantee. If you get the subscription, it's 40% off, and my 40% off code only lasts 10 days, so hurry up. As always, the link in the discount code will be included in the show notes.
Yeah, I think the one thing that we can predict for the rest of this year is there will be continued more disruption. And I think the key piece is, how should people prepare for that disruption?
Well, I think that people need to be more mindful of the headlines, not the clickbait headlines, but the real underlying trends that are going on. People need to read more real news.
What's that?
Right. Well, there are people called journalists who actually go to school to learn how to investigate stories and write about them and portray different sides of a problem so that readers can make an educated conclusion. Yeah. And that fact seems to have been lost in the discourse around what is and is not news, what is and is not factual. So yeah, it's true. People do put their own bias on it, but I think that our ability to think critically has somehow in our social discourse, our education system, whatever, over the last 20 years, we've kind of lost that ability to think critically. We all have to really step up on that, be willing to have some uncomfortable conversations with one another about these issues. So even if we all have to be a little bit uncomfortable in these conversations and get a little bit heated, as long as we can stay civil and rational in our conversations, I think we actually can make some progress.
Yeah, what I've been telling people is, number one, they need to get back out and network. We all know that your greatest protection from a recession is your network and the relationships you have. And two is both in your industry, in your profession, is keep your nose, the ear to the ground.
Yes.
And make sure, like I said, I did a blog post a couple of years ago on setting up Google alerts for disruption in your industry.
Yes.
Right. And going, okay, how is this going to affect me? How is it going to affect my job? How is it going to affect the company I work for? And if there is going to be, one of the things we see is, interest rates. The one thing we've seen in the tech industry is the venture capital money has dried up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because interest rates have gone up.
Right.
Free money is not there anymore.
Yeah.
How does that affect your company? How does it affect your customers? And really, I guess the fact is you can't stick your head in the sand. You really need to get out there and network and pay attention.
Absolutely. And I think the other thing I would say is stop complaining. If you find yourself ranting, complaining, calling someone out, something out, stop. If you read an article that pisses you off somewhere, refrain from jumping onto the comments and shouting. I think we all have to suck it up a little bit more and think about solutions and think about how we can actually solve problems as opposed to complaining about them, because that's not doing anything.
Well, it's also, it's funny. Whenever I go back to the U.S., I always, number one, gas is still cheaper where, maybe not in California, but in Texas, it's a lot cheaper than it is here in Mexico.
Right.
I also see people driving these mammoth cars, and I'm going, okay, start looking at your own lifestyle.
Right.
And what do you want? I think one of the things that's come out of the pandemic is, what's really important to you? And I know, we've done a lot of, I picked up and moved to Mexico. Mm-hmm. We've made a lot of lifestyle changes.
Right.
For the better. Right.
I mean, this gets back to what I was saying earlier about George Bush and the Gulf War. I think the time to pay the piper. And we've been living well now for 20 years. And I think it's time to kind of come back down to earth and take a little bit more responsibility. And it's affecting all of us increasingly directly through climate change. And, I don't want to read too much into this or pat myself on the back a little bit too much, but when you look at the midterm elections, 2022, I think one of the things that you did see, I think one of the things that is accurate, I don't think this is just simply a mainstream corporate liberal media spin on it. I think you did see voters to a really large degree pulling back from the extremes and trying to figure out something that was more down the middle of the road, more practical, more respectful of people and individuals, and trying to kind of get away from the rants and from the fear mongering, and to try to find something that was a little bit calmer, a little bit more rational, and get back on a more productive course. And I think we're also seeing this in terms of the show around social media, around the FANG companies. And I think people are starting to get a little bit fed up. And let's see if they vote with their feet now. That will be very interesting to see if there is a fall off in participation on social media. Someone made an interesting comment the other day, I'm not sure who it was, about the quote-unquote algorithm. And I think this was in relation to Musk and to Twitter. The idea that if you are, in fact, an advocate for free speech and for using Twitter as an open town square, then make the algorithm public. Put it into the public domain, right? Open source it. Which I thought was a really interesting idea, because that kind of gives the lie, you know, to this infrastructure, intellectual business, intellectual property infrastructure that has grown up now in social media companies over the last 15 years or so. So, you know, I think little by little, maybe it's a death by a thousand cuts, but we'll see what happens in 2023 around the future of regulation for some of these companies and a redefinition of some of these ideas around how they operate and what they're capable of and actually what free speech is or is not.
I know for me, I've backed off on my use of social media, discontinued my use of Twitter because I think it's going to fail. I don't use Facebook very much. I look at Twitter and Facebook, both of their business models are broken because they're based on advertising. So it's like, okay, I put all my effort into LinkedIn.
Right.
Right? And that's Absolutely. One of the things I would encourage everyone to do is pick one platform and forget about the rest. I think when we talk social media, I suspect a year from now, we're going to look at it very differently than we do now.
Very, very possible.
The social media landscape will look differently. And no, I'm not on TikTok. I have not put it on my phone. In fact, I was on a Career Thought Leaders webinar a couple weeks ago, and people were going, okay, are you on TikTok? These are all resume writers and other career coaches. Mm-hmm. And most of them are just saying, no, 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 no. And so from the average 55-year-old professional, should you be on TikTok? My guess is probably not.
Well, I mean, the question there has always been the same on social media. It's like, well, are you on social media because you're following the herd, or are you actually doing something with it? And as you're talking, I'm reminded of this idea, which we always need to float, which is that if you're not paying for it, you're the product. So if you're not paying for Facebook, you're not paying for TikTok, you're not paying for Instagram, well, then they're using you. I wondered, are you aware of any kind of 12-step programs around the usages of social media? Because I think we need them.
Yeah.
And I took TikTok off my phone because it is addictive. And because if you have 5 minutes and you think you're going to just spend 5 minutes swiping through TikTok videos, a half hour later, you're going to wake up and go, oh my God, where did the time go?
Yeah.
So there is something neurologically very affecting about this short form interface, and it's potentially a problem. So, you know, I think we're going to see a more sharply defined demarcation between social media as addictive antisocial behavior and anti-healthful behavior. You know, putting it in the same category as lack of sleep, alcohol abuse, all of these things, versus productive uses of networking, including LinkedIn, which I do not think of as a social network, in the same way as you look at these other companies. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see.
We look at towards the end of 2023. Are you optimistic for 2023? Pessimistic? Somewhere in the middle?
I'm a little bit veering towards optimistic because I think that we are now, you know, into this third year of the pandemic, or I guess will be the fourth year, 2020, 21, 22. Yeah. So 23 will be the fourth year. And I think that I feel like in a certain way, we've turned a corner in terms of our ability to normalize our life and lifestyle with the pandemic as a endemic element in that lifestyle. So I think people are going to be figuring out ways to move on. And that in itself to me is a relatively optimistic development. So given that, I would give it a let's say a 60% optimistic spin. And then hopefully if we can get some more resolution on the world geopolitical front, and let's pray for a resolution to the Ukraine situation where there's some kind of a peace brokered in some way, whether it's victory or accommodation or whatever that might be, so that we can return to that more normal situation. And let's see what happens in the divided politics that we have in our country. I think, again, back to the midterms, I think if there is any message that both parties need to take out of this, it's that you gotta pay more attention to the voters and less attention to the fringes on both sides. And that there is a big middle that just wants to move forward. And hopefully we'll see some of that.
I'm probably a bit more optimistic than you. I think inflation will come under control. Now, will it be down to 2% by the end of the year?
Probably not.
Probably not. But, you know, you and I lived in through the 70s and early 80s with a whole lot higher inflation than we have now.
Yeah. Mortgages at 10%. That's not going to happen.
Right. And so I think a lot of things are going to work their way out this year. I think, number one, anyone listening to this podcast, I think you need to be vigilant, pay attention. If you think you won't be affected by all this stuff, as I always say,
think again.
You're smoking something, and yes, right. You are inhaling. And so it's like anything else. It's a weird world, and it's not going to get any more sane, I think, in the next year. And, you know, just think about it. If someone decided to take Putin out one day, the world could, you know, the stock markets would probably soar.
Right.
Right. Can I predict that'll happen? The answer is no. It's like, okay, it's we need to be prepared for the uncertain and be comfortable yes. with it.
Yes. Yes, I think that's a really good piece of advice. And, you know, getting back to this question about entitlement and complaining, you know, we have been living in this grievance culture. I think the media has some responsibility, bears a good amount of responsibility in reporting on the grievance culture and making the grievance culture into headlines, because that's how they're making their money. So we need to be thinking more critically. We need to do a better job of parsing the information that we are reading. We need to seek out information that is detailed, comprehensive, relevant. We need to spend more time evaluating our information sources. We need to stop just repeating something that we've heard from a friend that has it on very good source. We have to question everything. And I think we have to, back to your question about network, we have to engage with people on these questions. And perhaps one thing that occurs to me today in our conversation to suggest to people is that you look at the top dozen or so friends, colleagues, family members that you're in contact with on a regular basis. What are the conversations that you haven't had with them that you should perhaps be having with them about what they're doing, about what's going on in the world, about your collective future, about decisions that have to be made? And enter into these conversations in an open way. Don't do this in a judgmental fashion. Don't over-dramatize it, but take responsibility and say, look, I'm thinking about these things. I'm concerned about, are you concerned about these things as well? Let's have a conversation. I'd like to learn more about what you're thinking, and perhaps we can come up with some better ideas that we can both use to better our situations and plan for the future and become more resilient.
Well, I think that's a good place to finish our discussion, because I think it's having these discussions with having some of these tough discussions will open all of our eyes and our ears and our brains to what we need to be doing next. And how do we prepare for this crazy world we live in?
That's right. We are the future. So let's all get together and figure it out.
Cool. Well, as we third year in a row, we are making our talking about what the reality looks like. So, John, again, thank you very much for being on the Repurpose Your Career podcast.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for asking me, and hopefully we'll be here again next January and we'll do it again.
I always enjoy these discussions with John. We face an unpredictable and uncertain year ahead of us. This is going to become the new normal. We all will have to adapt and hopefully grow as individuals. Take a moment, go to careerpivot.com and sign up for the weekly Career Pivot Insights newsletter, which is sent out every Sunday. You'll get a weekly update on this podcast, white papers, and new blog posts. My latest white paper is Ageism, the Last Acceptable Bias. While there, do not forget to check out the Career Pivot community, which can be found at careerpivot.com/community. Feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. Look for Career Pivot on Facebook and LinkedIn. And I am on Twitter at Career Pivot, although I am not tweeting right now. Thank you for listening all the way to the end of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. You will find all the show notes at careerpivot.com/episode-303. You can also subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Podbeam, Overcast, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, and lots of other places where podcasts can be found. This podcast can be found on the Repurpose Your Career podcast channel on YouTube. Hope to see you next Monday for another episode of Repurpose Your Career podcast.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.